Onward to our next session, which is on China brands going global and how they're going about it and the challenges they face. So I'd like to welcome to the stage Vijay from The Economist, who is going to be our moderator, as well as, thank you, Vijay. We met in Shanghai and Beijing, and Vijay has moderated at our events in China, and we welcome him here now that he's back in New York. So say hi to Vijay. Okay, next, Peter Prontomu from RacePoint Global. So President and CEO of RacePoint Global will be giving us a perspective. Donovan Song from Xiaomi, we've heard a little bit about him already. And finally, Adam Lisper from DJI, the world's leading drone maker made in China, designed in China. Vijay, take it away, please.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Key points is our pretty unique business model, right? When it comes to selling hardware, first of all, we sell much more than just smartphones. We also sell IoT products, things like scooters.
Internet of Things, of course.
Yes, scooters, TVs, you know, Mi bands, power banks.
Fitness bands, actually, that are one of the best sellers.
So we've invested in over 90 what we call portfolio companies that help us to make these products. And we have over 1,600 SKUs already. All of these products, you may have seen pretty recently that we announced we will forever limit the net hardware profit margin on these products to within 5%. And anything above 5% will return as excess to our users. So what ends up happening...
Why is that a good thing to say to prospective investors in your IPO? That sounds like a really bad thing to say.
I'll answer the business model question. So it's us saying that we're not just a hardware company. We sell amazing hardware that is usually better or the same specs as other competitors, but half the price. It's actually a very simple marketing message. And we often say our product is the marketing. So with this model, the question maybe is a little bit more like, how could you not win when you enter markets like Indonesia or India? You know, who doesn't want something that's better quality for half the price? And the reason is because we're actually an internet company. Actually, all of these hardware tools are just an acquisition funnel for us to acquire users, which is ultimately what internet companies care about. And then we can provide them with a lot of interesting internet services, things like app stores, browsers, content, financial payments, so on and so forth. And you can check the details in the prospectus that we filed a few weeks ago, but you can see that internet revenues, although they don't account for the majority of our revenues, they account for a substantial amount of our profits. So the reason we want to cap the profit margin from our hardware is because we want to show to the world forever that we're an internet company and we're looking to make our profit from internet revenues.
Sure, that's really helpful. So in essence, you're one of the examples that I see as the best of Chinese frugal engineering, extremely high quality engineering products. And those of you who've used Xiaomi phones and their fan base are really, really fanatical. People love Xiaomi phones, who use Xiaomi phones, are very high quality, and your price point is often very close to break even. I remember a couple of years ago when I wrote about Xiaomi from China, I looked into the margins, and at that time anyway, you're making more money on the little mascot dolls that you sold through your internet service than on a handset by design. You wanted to, and because you had this vision of a services model, revenue stream, and so on. So that gives us an idea of how you are able to enter. Obviously, you have to execute well. Now, I can say I'm going to be very great and cheap and just I will win, but I have to execute. I still want to know about branding, though. It's a great marketing strategy to start by saying we're the best phone at the lowest price. That's a great. But is that really what your ads say in India, for example, or in Singapore? I suspect not. So give us a sense of what is the, how do you connect with the consumer? What's the value proposition? Where's your brand equity? How do you think about that?
So I think one very key thing about Xiaomi is, sure, you know, maybe it has a hard to pronounce Chinese name, but actually if you look at the sounds, they're all sounds that you see in English, right? Xiao like in shower, Mi like me. So it's actually quite an easy name to say.
I don't know about that. Let's take a show of hands. First of all, how many people here have Xiaomi phones or have used one? Okay, so we got about maybe 10-20%. How many people can pronounce Xiaomi properly? Hands up. This is obvious. So how many of you think your most How many of you think your most American friend could also pronounce Xiaomi properly? Your most non-traveled nativist American friend. Okay,
I get it. So, I guess what I would say
push back
is,
there.
I guess what I would say is, I think, you know, it's not common in English to see an X in the front
of
a letter.
Absolutely.
What I meant was the actual syllables themselves are easy to pronounce.
Agreed.
And you know, Hans talked a lot today about the rise of China. You know, I do think that as more and more Chinese companies go global, like Xiaomi, it'll just be very normal. You'll notice a lot of the sounds are actually very similar. They exist in English. You just have to be able to read it. But anyway, back to the marketing question. I think one key thing about Xiaomi is that we really focus on product quality. We believe that the product can speak for itself. You know, if you end up using one of our phones, whether you know, the Mi 8 or the Mi Mix 2S or things like that, you'll see that these are not cheap products. I think one thing that helps, that we're trying to change, is the idea that a Chinese product, that a low-cost product, must be a low-quality product. We actually think that something can be low-cost and also be very, very high-quality. Because of our 5% pledge, you're right, we sell very, very close to cost, which means that we have very low marketing costs. So we don't do a lot of traditional advertising things like TV ads and banner ads and, you know, billboard ads and things like that. We depend a lot on word of mouth. We have this very cool mechanism called Mi Fans, which are these super hardcore fans around the world who help to spread the word about Xiaomi. You know, there's very few companies in the world, certainly very few Chinese companies in the world, that when you're trying to launch a new product or open a new store, you have hundreds of people lining up outside 24 hours, 48 hours in advance. You know, when I went to France just a few weeks ago, I was actually shocked because in France, in Paris, it ended up hailing the day that we had our launch event, and we also opened our first store. It was just raining cats and dogs, hailing, and we ended up having over 500 people line up outside, who traveled from all over France. So even in
France, these weren't Chinese who were visiting or studying.
They were all
of all backgrounds.
Okay, Vijay, I just want to ask, since you asked about India and Singapore, what can you tell the audience about how Xiaomi customized the phone for India?
Sure. So as we've gone more global, we've also, this is sort of an interesting topic in terms of how Chinese companies go global. One of our key products, of course, is hardware products, right, in addition to software products. So we have seen that certain markets have different needs than the Chinese market. So for the Indian market, the average temperature is a lot hotter than in China. And one of the biggest worries that a lot of Indian users have is the phone overheating. So what we've done in India is we have, in all of our phones there now, we've built what we call a dual pyrolytic graphite sheet. It's just a separate material that goes inside the phone and reduces the average temperature by up to 2 Celsius, so the phone doesn't overheat. Indian users love it. Another very small example I can mention is that in India, there's often a lot of power surges. So if your phone is plugged in, you may know this.
Too
very easy for the phone to burn out. So we've created a special adapter that you plug in. It's a 380-volt adapter that can withstand these power surges, so your phone doesn't burn out. Another interesting fact about India is that over 95% of our phones are manufactured locally in India, made in India. So something obviously that Prime Minister Modi is a very, very big fan of, and of course we're a big fan, because a big part of our message is localizing and really being friends with our users.
And just a couple of times you talked about Mi.com or Mi Fans. I've noticed the company has dabbled with the idea of shortening Xiaomi to just Mi and in some of its international marketing. Why don't you take the plunge? Just call yourself Mi outside of China? Or is there some pushback for, you know, cultural reasons why you don't want to do that?
Well, the name of the company is Xiaomi. You know, that's the name of the company. That's how we've been talked about for 8 years. But you're right that our global product brand globally is Mi, MI. We own MI.com, Mi.com, so it's very, very easy for everyone in the world to pronounce that name. Our phone here is called the Mi 8. You know, we have the Mi power banks, the Mi TV, things like that.
Okay.
And that helps to make it easier to spread the word. But the company's name is Xiaomi, and we found that actually, maybe initially some people don't know how to pronounce it, but actually it's quite an easy name once people just understand the
All right, enough about me.